not-so-solid gold.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Gold is definitely not glittering today. The price of the precious metal is down more than 1% this morning. It's been on a losing streak for the last few months. Here to talk gold with us is Julie Niemann, an analyst with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Stacey.
So what is happening with gold?
Well, this is a case of people just don't dislike gold. And gold is considered to be almost kind of a currency. And there are two other currencies right now that are a heck of a lot more attractive, oil and the U.S. dollar. The advantage to gold, though, as a currency is no government can devalue it. All the gold in the world, though, is very scarce. If you were to rip all the earrings off the ladies, melt everything down into a large cube, it's about the size of a baseball infield. So we're looking at scarcity, which does give it value. But when you have that kind of value, it's only when you have inflation. And right now, there's absolutely no evidence inflation in the globe.
Why is the value of the dollar rising right now?
Well, the dollar's moving ahead for only one good reason. We have very poor economic conditions, but we're the best-looking dog in the whole kennel. We're looking at the U.S. economy growing at about a rate of, I'm looking at, about 1.5%.
That's terrible. I mean, that's really very sluggish growth.
Oh, it is. You know, you're looking at most of the economists were predicting about 2.5% growth this year, and everybody keeps ratcheting down. We have very little jobs recovery. If there are no jobs, there is no consumption. But even so, when you're looking at this kind of recovery that we have, it is still better than what's going on through the rest of the globe.
Julie Niemann with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, thank you.
You bet.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is snapping up the Washington Post and some other papers for $250 million. Ken Doctor joins us now to talk about this. He's a media analyst with Outsell. Ken, like most papers, the Post has been losing readers and advertisers, and it's seen its value tank. What kind of earning potential is Bezos seeing here?
10 years ago, the Washington Post was worth probably 10 times what it sold for. So it sold for $250 million. It probably was worth at least $2.5 billion 10 years ago. So there's a lot of lost value, and that's the case throughout all of the Metro newspapers. The problem right now is that revenues are still falling, but the truth is they're falling less than they were several years ago. So at the point that newspapers can get to being revenue neutral, then they're going to start to regain value as mainly digital properties.
Where is that revenue growth going to come from?
The number one place it's coming from is from us. Reader revenue is the fastest growing revenue for daily newspaper companies. And then the second area they're making money in is what's called marketing services. So they're going to small and medium-sized businesses, and they're saying, let me help you with your digital marketing. You need customers. We know about search engine optimizing, search engine marketing, how to put ads on Facebook, and more. You pay us every month, we'll help you get your customers in the door.
Also, Ken, the Washington Post may have been losing money, but it certainly has a lot of clout, a lot of influence with a lot of very important and influential people. Is that part of the reason, perhaps, that Bezos bought the Post?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Amazon, it is a big, powerful company. There have been huge issues around sales tax issues, largely resolved at this point, but the privacy fight is in front of us. Amazon is in the middle of that, and many other things for a big, dominant company. So having the number one mouthpiece in the nation's capital can't hurt. We'll hear protestations of how it will be kept independent, but you've got an owner who has strong political interests outside the newspaper, and this is what's going on in the world. As Bezos buys in, Warren Buffett buys in, John Henry buys in Boston, we have people who have powerful outside interests, and that's going to take a lot of reader beware on the part of all of us.
Ken Doctor is a media analyst for Outsell, a research consultancy. Ken, thank you.
Quite welcome.
We make a lot of assumptions about people based on the cars they drive. New BMW, the driver has money. New Ford Fiesta, maybe middle or working class. But there's one brand that has managed to attract people across the wealth divide. Car data show that new car sales, Jeep does equally well among people making less than $10,000 a year and those who make over half a million. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Noel King has that story.
Hey guys, do you think it's okay for them to walk from here?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a walk.
My producer and I are in the San Bernardino Mountains with the Dirt Devils, an off-roading group that volunteers to clean up trails in the National Forest here. Our Chevy Cruze hit a rock and is going no further. Castulo Olivas says if you're going to drive over rocks, let some air out of your tires so they wrap around.
If you have regular tire pressure on there, you'll be just floating on top of the rocks and spinning your tires.
You can't air down in a Chevy Cruze. You can in a Jeep. While he airs down his own tires, Olivas says that other than their Jeeps, club members don't have a lot in common.
I know one guy is like a pipeline inspector. One person does medical sales, you know, heart valves and stuff.
Olivas works in air conditioning.
They have professions that, require college and people that just work at a gas station. Doesn't matter.
If you look at car data based on income, it's pretty stark. There are cars that rich people buy, cars that the middle class buys, and cars that poor people buy. But everyone buys Jeep. Jesse Toprak, an analyst for TrueCar.com, says Jeep doesn't have many models, but it has them at both ends of the price spectrum, from $50,000 to less than $20,000.
You can literally lease some of these vehicles that are under $300 a month. In many cases, if you live in a big city, your mass transport costs might be more than that.
And Toprak says maybe more than any other brand, Jeep capitalizes on its cool image.
It does give you that, I'm not a soccer mom driving a minivan.
Back in the San Bernardino Mountains, I'm sitting shotgun in Castulo Olivas' Jeep while he prepares to crawl over a massive boulder.
If you need to grab into anything, just grab the bar. Don't grab outside the window because that's where you get your fingers messed up.
Then, one tire fully up in the air.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
We climb over the boulder.
Oh, my goodness.
Analysts say most Jeep owners never take their Jeeps off-road. But the point is, they could. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
That was incredible. That was really awesome. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Can you guess what brand of car affluent Americans are most likely to buy? We've got a graphic that explains it all. Check out our website, marketplace.org. And finally, if you're in the market for art today, check out eBay. A sketch by Andy Warhol is for sale. Bids start at $1.9 million. The sketch of crooner Rudy Valli was picked up for $5 at a rummage sale in Las Vegas. Warhol made the sketch when he was around 10 years old, so it may just be the world's most valuable refrigerator art. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.